I'd like to welcome each one of you to our worship this morning and appreciate those men who led us in our worship today. And thank each one of you for being here, especially those who are visiting. I encourage you to come back whenever you have an opportunity. It's always good to be able to worship with one another in spirit and truth, our Almighty God. And so we're glad that you're here. Let's go this time, God, in prayer. Father, we ask your blessings upon us as we open your word this morning. May we open our minds and our heart to what you have spoken and these ancient truths and help us to live them out in our modern day. Father, we thank you so much for our friends and families that have gathered together with us today. Thank you for those who are traveling, and Father, we pray you bless their journeys as they go to their destinations and return back to their normal lives after the holiday. Father, we just pray that you be with us as we strive to do your will. Forgive us when we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. May today be a reminder to strive to do better, to live for you. And Father, we thank you so much that you make this possible through your Son, Jesus. We thank you he came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins and was raised up so that we can have that hope of eternal life. Go with us now, Lord. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. And many of you were like me this past week. You had an opportunity to visit with some friends and family for the holidays. Maybe if you were there with friends and family, you might have noticed some things are a little different. If you were like me, you might notice that some of our relatives we haven't seen for a year or more are maybe have a little bit of gray hair than they were before. Maybe the children have grown up, or maybe there are new children that weren't there last year, or maybe there is a new person because of a wedding, and maybe there are some who've passed. Things change. And someone has said that the one thing that is constant in this world is change. We see it probably more around the holidays than maybe any time of the year, because many of our friends and family we gather with, we haven't seen them for over a year or more. And so we see the changes. They're noticeable to us. But as we think about this world that's ever changing, there is one thing that in this physical world doesn't change, or doesn't change as drastic as what we might be aware of in our everyday life. And that one thing is the North Star. The North Star, on a number of occasions, have helped travelers, whether at sea or in the woods, outdoors, who are in danger of being lost, has helped guide them to safety, all because they focus on that one constant, dependable point in the sky. Well, as I think about that North Star, and as I think about the changes in our lives, does the Bible have anything to say about being constant and dependable? And it does. In this life that is ever-changing and is always moving and transforming, and all the changes are going on, it's encouraging to know that the Bible is a fixed point. And it reminds us that there are some spiritual truths that can be used as references to help guide us in this ever-changing world to eternity. And so what are those fixed points? What are those things that the Bible tells us will never change? Well, there's at least four I want to look at this morning. And as we look at these four things, be reminded that there are some constants that never change in this life. Number one is God. God never changes. God never changes. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it states that very thing. It proclaims, it says, For I, the Lord, do not change. God is unchanging. And throughout the New and Old Testament, we see it is talking about the same God. There is a false idea that there is a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. That simply is not true. What we have in Scripture is an unchanging God, his unchanging character, his unchanging plan for all of mankind. The Bible teaches that God is not bound by time or space as you and I are. Where we live in this day and time, there is constant changes. But God is beyond time. He is changeless. And the Bible relays that changeless character in a number of passages. Take, for example, in James chapter 1, verse 17. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Notice that James tells us there's no variation. There is no change in God. And then back in the Old Testament in Numbers 23 and verse 19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it?" God is not like you and I, and that he changes his mind or changes his will. What he says is words of truth. And as we sometimes say, you can take that to the bank, meaning it is reliable. He is the one and true and only God. Psalms 110 and verse 4 puts it this way: "The Lord has shown and will not change his mind." And so he reminds us again of God's unchanging nature. And as we come to the New Testament and Jesus Christ is revealed, we see in John chapter 1 and verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. And Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because Christ is God, he never changes either. And so Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit have these eternal qualities that are everlasting, eternal, unchanging. That's precisely what Isaiah 40 and verse 28 describes, where it tells us that God is everlasting. He is eternal. And the word there, everlasting, means eternal, or means transcendent over all time, meaning unchanged, without end, forever. He is unlike the idols of the Old Testament and the New Testament, who often influenced people like the Israelites or like those people in Athens in Acts 17. God has always been. Well, the idols are created in human beings' minds. They're lifeless and temporary. God continues. God is the only eternal spirit who is without beginning or end. And the Bible tells us this in many passages, not just the ones we have looked at, that God exists endlessly and never changes. As far backwards and as forward as you can look, God is there. There has never been a time without God. He operates on eternal, unchanging principles. He keeps his promises. He is trustworthy and true. And because of this, he is at fixed point in our life, that we can listen to what he has to say and be guided, because there is no variation in him. And because God is a reality, he is a fact and does not change, we can build our lives on him. Particularly, we can build our lives on his word. Number two, as we think about those unchanging things in what the Bible tells us, God's word never changed. Now, it's easy to reason that if God, who is true and unchanging, what he says is unchanging as well. And so the Bible reiterates that very point. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Unchanging words. These words that have no variation, because they come from God. Now, if you were to go to a beach and pull out a shellfish and take it home and put it in salt water, and then you would transport that shellfish to another beach, say you've got it on the East Coast and you take it to the West Coast, or maybe you take it to one of the beaches in another part of the world and put it back in some salt water, in a salt water ocean there, interesting thing would happen. And that shellfish will open and close on the time of the tide of its home waters, wherever it may be. You can change its location, but the shellfish will not change its timing. It operates on where it was home. The same is true with God's Word. God's Word is unchanging. The Bible, the Word of God, doesn't matter if you're here in Parkersburg, West Virginia, if you're in Mexico City in Mexico, or if you're somewhere in China or another part of the world, the teaching, the message, and the meaning of God's instruction is true. It never changes. Now, the Bible has been carefully translated in over 1,200 languages. Over 30 million copies of the Bible is being distributed each year. The Bible continues to be a number one bestseller. And all of this, it never changes. If you look at the unity of the Bible by itself as evidence of its inspiration, over 40 men were used by the Holy Spirit to be able to relay the message of the Bible as God spoke. They recorded it. And it's interesting that many of these men did not know each other. Some were rich, some were poor, some were kings, and some were shepherds. Some wrote in one language and some another, and yet the unity of these 66 books provides a unit consistent with one special message. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, it teaches that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. That's how we can explain this unchanging message, this timeless message, because the God of the universe, the creator of all, spoke these words. In Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and Hebrews 6 and verse 18, it reminds us that God is a God of his word. He cannot lie, and so that verifies his word as being true. Not only do we understand that the Bible is God-breathed and inspired, but it also reminds us that this unique quality of the Bible is also the reason it is indestructible. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, "But the word of the Lord remains forever, and his word is the good news that has been preached to you." Notice what Peter says. His word will remain forever. That reemphasized what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 24. No matter what men try to do to the Bible, it will remain unchanged. It will stay consistent. It is something you can rely on. It's interesting to note that there have been many people throughout history trying to destroy the Bible. Many of those first translators of the Bible from Greek to English were persecuted and many martyred for their efforts. And yet the Bible continues. There have been a number of enemies of the Bible. One such held up a copy of the Bible and said, "In 15 years, I'll have the book in the morgue." 15 years rolled around, he was in the morgue. Voluntary said that in 100 years, the Bible would be an outdated, forgotten book. At the end of the century, Voluntary had died and his house was being used by the Geneva Bible Society to print, store, and distribute Bibles. The Bible lives on. No matter through the ages what man has tried to do to destroy the Bible, it lives on. And it verifies the very point that God's Word remains forever. It is those fixed points in our world that we can rely on. It's that spiritual truth that you can guide us into eternity. In Isaiah 40 and verse 8, it says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever." This is good news. Because of what we have in God's word is something we can base our lives on. But as we base our lives on this word of God, we realize that we also have a problem. We have a sin problem. Number three, God's punishment for sin never changes. As we understand and relay who God is, that fixed permanent point, unchanging, his word is unchanging, we realize that we need God's word to guide us, to teach us and help us understand what sin is. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Bible relays very quickly that mankind has a sin problem. We see it recorded in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve rebelled against God and sinned. And people have been continuing to sin ever since. We have a sin problem. And yet the Bible reminds us that God has a solution to that sin problem. But first, notice how drastic sin is. First of all, sin never changes. Do you realize as you read the Bible that many of the problems they had in the book of Genesis we still have today? We still have the problem of lying and stealing and cheating and murder. And it continues today. Sin never changes. Sin has a deadly bite to it. And the results often affect us physically and spiritually. See, sin is violating the will or law of God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, it says sin is lawlessness or transgression, meaning it is against the law of God, it's against the will of God, it's against the mind of God. It's rebellion. In 1 John 5 and 17, it reminds us that all wrongdoing is sin. We continue in reading the Bible explains what sin is. We understand that it's wrong, it's against God's will, but what is it? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, notice what it says. The Bible is very clear about what sin is. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy. Notice it continues. It lists this long list of defining and telling us what sin is. As you continue on in verse 21, it tells us that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible is very clear what sin is. Sin is so dangerous and it's so destructive that it's a matter of life and death. And the Bible tells us here that one who continues in these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says it even clearer in John 8 and verse 24. When Jesus says that if one does not believe in him, they will die in their sins. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10 lists another list of sins. And it tells us there, we will not inherit the kingdom of God if we continue our sins. Revelation 21, 8 reminds us that those who continue in sin will experience the second death. Any description of sin that we could read, and we can read many other passages, it tells us that we have a sin problem. It's a matter of life and death, a spiritual life and death. And yet God has provided the way of escape. Sin never changes, but God has a plan. Number four, God's plan of salvation never changes. Back in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Notice again what the passage says that was read earlier. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. The Bible reminds us that there is one plan of salvation offered to us by Almighty God. The gospel here in this passage in Galatians means the entire plan that God has come up with, has relayed. The entire plan of salvation regarding the church, regarding man's response to Jesus' death on the cross, the whole Christian system is described. There were some in Paul's day who were trying to pervert this message or saying there was another gospel, and he explains there really wasn't another gospel. In other words, there's only one way to be able to be set free from our sins and have that way to heaven. And there were some, as they are today, trying to distort that, trying to transform it, trying to say that there is something out there that's better. And Paul says, no, that's not the case. Even if he, or notice an angel from heaven, says something contrary, let them be accursed. Let them be condemned. Paul's point is there's no other gospel because God never changes. His word never changes. And so what he says is true, and this is the way of salvation. Notice in Romans chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Paul says here, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection is the permanent, for all time, solution to our sin problem. He is the reason and what makes it possible for us to be able to overcome our sin problem. As we think about what Jesus did at that cross, it's the permanent solution to our sin. Now, the Bible reminds us that the way one accepts that offer of salvation of what Jesus did at the cross is found in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we see on the day of Pentecost that this message was preached, that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. And when those people heard that message, they asked Peter and the apostles, "What shall we do?" And Acts 2:38 is the response. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice this wasn't just a one-time offer. This is just not a one-time response to the salvation Jesus offers at the cross. In verse 39, notice, "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Here we see that this is a timeless message. This is the forever response to the gospel message. This promise is for us today. If we want to have a solution to our sin problem, we respond to this way. And as we continue reading in Acts chapter 2, we see those who accept God's salvation on his terms were added to Christ's church. Notice in verse 41, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Notice in verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all people, that the Lord added to the church daily such as those who are being saved." Notice here that we see that no man, no person added to the church. Notice that no one would join the church. Notice no one was voted into the church. It was those God added who responded to the plan of salvation. He added to the church. He added to the body of believers his new people, the new Israel, the church of Jesus Christ. This is the church that Jesus built and talked about in Matthew 16 and 18. Notice what it says. "And I say unto you there that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Notice in response to the sin problem, we have a permanent solution, something that never changes. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," meaning it will not come to destruction. It will not come to utter ruin. It may have hurts, it may have challenges throughout the ages, and the church has. But the church will endure until Jesus comes back. And this is a church we can be added to. See, God's plan of salvation doesn't change. It doesn't change from the time that Jesus died on the cross till today. It is permanent. It is that permanent fixture in our spiritual lives that can guide us to eternity. Finally, in the midst of our continuous changes in our homes, in our workplaces, in our cities, in our nation, even the world, things are changing. There's at least four things God promises that will never change. Four things that you can direct your life on to give you guidance, to rescue from this dark world and give you direction. That number one, God will never change. Number two, God's word will never change. Number three, God's punishment for sin never changes. And number four, God's plan of salvation never changes. In the words of the hymn we just sang, "There stands a rock Remember again what the word says. It reads, some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame, on their treasures or their land, mine's on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages. There are many things one can build their life on. There are many things that can take up our time and for a moment give us direction. But the one and only thing, the foundation, the rock that never changes and will endure forever is God, His Word, His plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Have you built your life on the unchanging God, the rock of ages that will forever stand? Is that where you're building your life? If not, let me encourage you to begin today. Will you respond to the unchanging God who has given us an unchanging message, a plan of salvation? It's applicable for us today. If you need to respond, we invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.